There is a growing movement against freedom of religion in this country. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode, another broadcast of Study, Grow, Know. We are continuing in our series called Behind Enemy Lines. And last time we discussed a number of the things that are happening in society, and today I want to talk about a few others. Free speech and freedom of religion are coming under attack from all sides. But interestingly enough, it is mainly affecting conservative and Christian groups. For instance, Vanderbilt University recently told a Christian group applying for recognition on campus that they could not include the phrase that states they want only leaders who are committed to Christ in their group. That was offensive to Vanderbilt, so they refused to accept the application from the Christian group until the phrase was literally expunged. Rather than do that, the group chose to go off campus. What's interesting here is, under the guise of hate speech, more and more people's rights are being eradicated. I was speaking with one pastor not long ago, and I actually had him on my show, my Blog Talk radio show, which happens on Tuesdays, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And he's from Canada, and he stated that because of the laws that exist there in that nation, they're designed to protect gays from hate speech. Because of those laws, a pastor cannot teach, for instance, that homosexuality is biblically wrong on the radio or the TV. If he does, either he or the station or both will be fined. Truth is becoming off limits in some quarters of our society. Now, in another case, at Western Kentucky University in America, a pro-life student group set up a display, which they called Cemetery of the Innocents display. There were roughly 3,700 small white crosses as part of the display. However, one student not associated with the group chose to attach condoms to the crosses, literally desecrating the display. Campus police refused to do anything, and the professor of the student placing the condoms, quote, defended the placement of condoms as an example of critical engagement with ideas. Unquote. Now, however, it literally became clear that the student who placed the condoms on the crosses viewed the display as an intrusion and said as much. The student's use of condoms was argued to be free speech, while the display of crosses created by the group was not viewed as such. This is really a terrible double standard when it comes to what the world is willing to put up with from conservatives and authentic Christians, and that double standard is growing markedly. Now, in another situation, an atheist group, Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, has put pressure on the Air Force to remove Bibles from their on-base housing for guests. The group wrote a letter saying that the Bible should not be available in the rooms. And as one individual pointed out, instead of wanting to display their own material, they simply demanded that the Bibles be removed, in spite of the fact that 85% of military individuals state that they are Christian. Now, all of this is literally par for the course. Most understand that in these last days, not only will mockers exist, mocking the fact of Jesus' return, but there will be plenty of situations in which groups like the ones I've just mentioned come out in full force against Christians and Christianity. It's simply the way the world is going. And this is what Satan has to do because of his abject hatred for Jesus and for his authentic followers. Remember, we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed firmly in the kingdom of light, and yet we still live here. That is a major thorn in Satan's side. So he attacks Christ's followers. He attacks what Jesus represents. And at the same time, we see a rolling out of the red carpet for groups like Islam, which really leaves me speechless. Recently, there's been a growing trend among judges in this country to welcome and even make room for Sharia law with in the U.S. court system because of the sensibilities of many Muslims, we're told. And we're also told that they come from countries that do not understand the type of freedom that we enjoy in the United States. And because of that, we need to help them make the transition from their country of origin to the United States. Well, we can help them in their adjustment period by allowing Sharia law into courts in cases of family matters and practice. This is what radical Islam wants to do. This is their starting point. The question is, how far do we go? And the other question is, why should the United States literally set aside its own sovereignty under the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights to begin making judgments through the eyes of a foreign or international law? This makes little sense to people who understand the value of our founding documents. Sharia law is a huge step backwards in time. It places women and children at risk and puts the man squarely in the role of dictator in the home. Now, under Sharia law, the husband can beat his wife publicly. There are many videos on the internet that teach Muslim men the quote-unquote proper way to do this. It's horrendous, and yet many in the West believe there is nothing inherently wrong with Islam, and that the things that people worry about really amount to nothing because they are the exceptions to the norm of what truly is and defines Islam. But are they? In a recent situation in Egypt, something has come to the top that is appallingly grotesque. And you know what? I'm not even going to mention it. I'm just going to skip right over it. It's an opinion piece that was printed in an Egyptian newspaper about what husbands are able to do for up to 6 hours after their wife dies. And you sit there and you think, what kind of civilized society even thinks like that? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. We've also got to remember that many believe the agents of the Muslim Brotherhood have infiltrated the U.S. government at the request or even the appointment of this current administration. Some of these individuals appear to be very high up in our government and routinely make policy decisions related to our country's safety. Numerous books have been written about this subject, and it has become common knowledge for anyone who really wants to know the truth. It appears that our government has been taken over by absolute radicals. And beyond all this, we have a current administration that seems to spend more time and millions of taxpayer dollars on vacations than in doing any real work. Every time Mr. Obama heads off for a vacation, the taxpayers are charged millions. Since taking office, Mr. Obama and or his family have taken a total of 16 vacations, and that's just in slightly over 3 years. Who takes that many vacations? While that may seem like nitpicking, the reality is that our economy is in dire straits and needs fixing. But instead of fixing it, the plan seems to be to continue to increase the national debt beyond the ability to repair it. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said recently that we are facing dramatic fiscal problems. He said, quote, "Failure to take new action by the end of the year would have negative effects on the economy that even the Fed could not offset," unquote. He actually calls it a fiscal cliff. Now, in spite of this, it appears that this current administration seems unconcerned and continues to move forward, adding to the national deficit like some of us drink water. The reason for the concern is clear. Quote, and I'm quoting right here, "Among the expiring breaks are Bush-era tax rates on personal income, capital gains, and dividends, a payroll tax reduction, and some tax relief for businesses. The foundation says tax changes related to President Obama's health care reform law are also set to kick in, drawing even more revenue from taxpayers," unquote. The amount of money that's going to be required to implement Obamacare goes into the trillions of dollars. And where is that money coming from? Most of it is going to come from taxpayers. Now, added to the financial problems this country faces, we have another area that adds to the debt and has become a millstone around the necks of many students. Student loans have become a burden too few can handle, especially considering the lack of available jobs for which people have been trained upon graduation. This is an interesting thing. Here's another quote. Quote, here's what we do know about the student loan debt. It's roughly $1 trillion in size, greater than either auto or credit card debt, and second only to mortgage debt in the United States. Borrowers in their 30s today owe $28,500 on average. The debt burden has soared, too, just as and partly because the recession hit. So younger graduates carrying the highest balances are hit with the double whammy of a weak job market that still isn't showing any sign of rapid improvement. And the quote continues, and this all comes as globalization and technological change have upended once reliable career paths, wiped out many mid-level professional jobs, and leave low-paying fields in health, food, and beverage services and retail as among the fastest-growing job markets over the next decade, unquote. Because of the tremendous increase in cost to go to many colleges these days, most students have had to take out massive loans, and since many to most are currently without work, they're unable to pay them back. What's the government to do? Forgive the debt? Well, there's talk of that, but what will that do to the already overburdened economy? Nothing good. Now, one of the ways our government is considering reducing the deficit is by taxing Americans' retirement funds. Here's another quote. Quote, Uncle Sam, in a desperate attempt to fix its $16 trillion plus deficit, is leering over Americans' retirement nest egg as its new bailout fund. Capitol Hill politicians are assessing tax changes that could let the Internal Revenue Service lay claim to a portion of the $18 trillion sitting in 401k accounts and other tax breaks used by middle-class workers, including cutting the mortgage tax deduction. A commission looking for ways to close the deficit and noting the extent of 401k tax breaks recommends an examination of the system as one way to prevent government bankruptcy. And the quote concludes by saying, besides 401ks, other possibilities, including the mortgage interest deduction on second homes, as well as benefits from employer-provided health insurance, which are untaxed now, unquote. And that, by the way, is from the New York Post. And that goes back to April 26th of this year, 2012. What we are seeing is a government that's literally run amok, spending money it does not have and working with absolutely no budget, which, by the way, is illegal. Once again, taxation on the middle class seems to be one of the ways the government is considering filling the debt hole. You know, we could go on and on with governmental problems, but the truth is apparent to those who care about truth. This country, this world, is racing headlong into the coming cataclysmic fallout from a total global collapse. And I would not be surprised if the United States winds up leading the way to some degree. So we've got so many things going on in this country. And we're certainly familiar with the most recent massacre that took place in Colorado at a movie theater while people were simply trying to enjoy a movie night out. We've got so many problems. And of course, people are now saying that it was a staged event, it was a setup. Not that people didn't really die, they did die. But it seems to be coincidental that this happened just prior to the time in which Congress in the United States is going to vote on whether or not to ratify the Arms Trade Treaty. If they ratify that, that could mean and will ultimately mean that the UN peacekeeping forces will determine what type of weapons, if any, are sold and bought by the average person in the United States. So apart from religious persecution that we're seeing growing on a daily basis here in the United States, we've got other freedoms that are currently on the chopping block. And what do we do about those things? Well, certainly, I'm not sure what can be done about those things. The purpose of this is to just educate us. And certainly, at the same time, we need to make sure that we are close to God and stay in constant communion with Him. We can't get caught up in the problems of the world. We can't get wrapped up in the issues of society that will keep us from extending the gospel to the lost of this world. Well, that's our show for today, and I thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll tune in again next time. And until then, may God show you how richly blessed you truly are. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.